Stay seated. Open to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 9 through 17 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 17. By the way, you young people that are sitting over in here, you've been behaving very well. Thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, sometimes we're pretty good at telling them they're not behaving. We ought to be good telling them when they behave. Amen. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 17. You follow with me. We'll read it responsively. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And let's finish on verse 17 together. Ready? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And let's pray. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit of God, I need your help to preach this sermon. Lord, I wish I could give you a better servant. Wish I could give you a better preacher. But you're stuck with me. And I pray that you'd use me. I'd like to help your people. I'd like to help our church. I'd like to help us get ready for heaven. I'd like to help our families. If we would listen with your Spirit and your power today, our lives and eternity could be changed. I pray that you'd do that today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, to the sermon today. Verse 15 is our text verse for the day. It says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I call this the whole family in heaven and earth. The whole family in heaven and earth. Now, I'm glad that God came up with the concept of the family. And by the way, it was God, not man. The family is not an evolutionary process. All right? Just so you know, most animals don't stay together as families. Most animals, they will breed, but they don't stay together as families. A mama will take care of the little ones till they can take care of themselves, and then they kick them out and go have more little ones and don't have any more interaction. Human beings are not animals.
Amen.
More than one reason. Number one reason, because some of you mothers would eat your young if you were an animal. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I know you fathers would kill them.
Yeah.
All right? That's one proof that we're not of the animal kingdom. But there are plenty of others. But I want you to notice something. God said, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth. So that means there's family in heaven. There's family on earth. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit. God set up the human race to be much like what it is to be like in heaven. He set us up to be like what it would be in heaven. God wanted to enjoy on earth what he was enjoying in heaven. He wanted us to enjoy on earth what was available to us in heaven. Now, sin entered the world, and man yielded to sin, and there began to become problems between our families. We won't take time to turn there, but if you went back to your Genesis chapter 3,
when Adam sinned and God came to him and said, Adam, what did you do? He said, well, God, the woman thou gavest me, she made me do it. Uh-oh. Not only did he blame his wife, he blamed God for giving him his wife. Hey, God, the woman you gave me, she's the one that messed up, not me. It's all her fault, not mine. Sound familiar? And man hasn't wanted to take the blame ever since. Now, the first recorded murder in the Bible was between two brothers, Cain and Abel. And just so you know, those weren't the only four people on the earth at the time. It wasn't Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. There had been hundreds of years go by, and Cain and Abel, as soon as Cain had done that, God banished him, and they talked about cities. They talked about people. There was a huge population already in the earth at the time, and I'm not going into all those details, that's later, but I just want you to understand something. The first recorded murder in the Bible was one brother killing another brother. Now, I do understand that one. My brother almost killed me more than once. And I tried to kill him with a hoe one day, but I wasn't allowed out in the street. He ran out in the street, and I thought, great, Dad's going to whoop him for being out in the street. I got whooped for carrying the hoe and trying to hit him with it. That was not fair, nor was it just. I'm bitter. All right. Now, we humans are strange, though, when it comes to our family. Listen to this. We can fuss, feud, argue, fist fight, not get along. We can say things to each other that are unkind, and that's just how we get along. You let somebody from the outside say the same thing that you said about your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy, or somebody, and you go to war with them. Now, wait a minute. You just said the very same thing to your brother, but somebody else said it, and you're going to fight the guy that said it about your brother. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We defend each other that way. We think, I'm going to make a statement here, don't get mad at me. We think just because somebody has similar DNA with us, that it's our obligation to listen to what they say. It's our obligation to defend them. And I'm not saying that that is a bad thing. But I want you to follow me for just a little bit here. Let me say, I am for strong family ties. Did you hear that? I'm for strong family ties. But let me say this. I'm for doing right over blood DNA. Amen. I'm for doing right over my family ties. I would rather obey God and have my family upset with me. By the way, I'm not talking about being weird, but I am talking about I would rather live right than have all of my family be in total agreement with me. Do you think all of my family is in total agreement with me? Uh-uh. Just like your family's not in agreement with you either, just so you know. Now, we may be in disagreement over other things. I have family that if they come through town, they're definitely not coming to this church. Say, does that bother you? Nope. You have family that won't come to this church either. Why should I be any different? I'm okay with that. They're the ones that answer to God for that. I'm going to church whether they do or not. I'm not going to stay home from church. You'd want to fire me if I stayed home from church because I had a family member in town. And, well, they don't want to come to church, so I don't want to come to church either. If the preacher stayed home for that reason, you get upset. Why do you do it? What made me any different? Everybody doing okay? Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself right now. I don't believe that right and wrong changes based on DNA. I don't believe that God said this is right unless you're related to him. Unless somewhere down the line you have similar DNA here. God didn't say it's right unless you're married to him. God didn't say it's right unless they're your kids. Now, God decides right and wrong not us. Let me say that again. God decides right and wrong, not us. The very thing that got man in trouble is man wanted to decide right and wrong for himself. Can I tell you something? God is a better judge of right and wrong than you are any day of the week. Now, let me illustrate. Our church, going to church and living right, did not change as my children grew up. Come on up here. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. I hope. I don't want to break my promise. I love my daughter. She is 18 years old. I had to think about that for a second. I said the other night she was 19. She's almost 19. She's working at it. Now, listen to me. When my daughter turned a teenager, I didn't change what I believe about this book because she didn't want to live it. I didn't change what I preached. I didn't change our standards at home. She had to live it whether she liked it or not. Because right and wrong did not change. It's okay, folks. Everybody's had little ones. They're learning. It's all right. All right, now look this way. You don't change right and wrong based on the fact that your children are getting older. I remember in the early days of our church, while we were still meeting in half a dozen hotel rooms, one service to the next, I said, you'll find out whether I believe right and wrong enough to where whether I change what we preach because my children are older teenagers. Guess what? I didn't change one thing.
That's good.
Amen.
And I'm still not going to, thank you. Whether she lives it or not doesn't mean that I shouldn't preach it. And I shouldn't live it. I hate to say it. I've watched preachers change what they believe based on how old their children were because their children wouldn't obey it, so they started changing what they preached.
Yes, sir.
Right. And I'm not going to be unkind, but that's wrong. God didn't say until your kids get a certain age, you're supposed to believe this way and then change it because your kids won't live it. Whether my kids live it or not, I'm still going to preach it.
That's good.
And I've had one of my kids go the opposite direction for a while. And I didn't change what I believed. Now, he was a grown man. We'll get into that later as well. Now, the more sin abounds on earth, the more sin affects families. I'll say that again. The more sin abounds on earth, the more sin affects families. We now have it to where it's legal in many states for sodomites to marry each other. By the way, the word sodomite is a biblical term for homosexuals.
Amen.
I'll use the biblical word because it's far more graphic than just the word homosexual.
Right.
Sodomy is something that even the world doesn't like to hear, but almost every state in the union still has sodomy laws on the books. They just don't enforce them. Now, sodomite marriages are destroying the American family.
Yeah.
God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody doing all right?
Yep.
All right. We now have an all-out attack by Hollywood on the home.
Yep.
Morality is something of the past. One man, one woman, married to each other for life seems to be something that is forgotten in America today.
Right,
I told somebody this week I'd been married for over 27 years. They said, wow, I'm not sure I've met anybody that's been married that long to the same person. I said, my mom and dad are on 53. I said, both 55, they're on 54. I said, I'm only halfway to what they are. I said, my dad's brother's been married over 50 years. I said, my dad's sister's been married over 50 years. My mom's sister's been married over 50 years. I said, my brother's been married over 30 years. I said, we're just the babies.
Mm-hmm.
That person looked at me and said, I had never heard that before. Isn't that sad?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that sad?
Yep.
divorce has gotten so easy. Well, all you got to do is go to Las Vegas, sign a couple papers, and it's over. Here we go. Boom. We have children now taught in public schools how to turn their parents into the government because their mom and dad disciplined them appropriately and scripturally.
Yep.
You can't take a child to the hospital or a young lady to the hospital without the hospital inquiring whether somebody in the family abused them so that they can take you away.
Yeah,
that's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Folks, I better keep going. I got to get to the sermon. Mr. Spock and the child psychologists have ruined the families in America today. I hate to tell you, you young people listen to me right now, but you don't know anything about rearing a family. You might think you know something, but you don't. You've never parented a child. You've never had to work and pay all the bills and rear children. There's a lot more to it than you know. I love it as my children get older. I said, Dad, man, it's getting really hard. I got one that's married. I said, he called me a couple weeks ago. He said, Dad, you and Mom always made it look so easy. Yeah, it looks easy, but it's not, is it? I said, it's a big con job. I said, you didn't know how tough it was. He said, man, I'm finding out. I said, yeah, you are. It's not as easy as you think it is. Now, we have vile human adults, man and woman, who prey on their own children to satisfy their flesh. How? And please don't take this wrong, but people like that need taken out back and beaten within a half an inch of their life every day. I turned the stupid news off after about 30 seconds this week. My wife and I were both about to vomit. Some woman gave her child up for adoption, found him when he was 16 years old, and now she's being... they're now in a romantic relationship. I'm sorry, a horse whipping's not good enough for that. Now, we feel the stress or opposition of in-laws. We face the stress of step-parents or step-children. And we think that just because they're not blood-related that we're supposed to have conflict because of that. Can I tell you something? You're not supposed to have conflict no matter what. Now, it may come, but not from your side. Can I tell you, does God really... Do you think God's really happy just because you have a stepchild or a stepparent or you got in-laws at your house? That you think he's pleased with the conflict that you're creating? Well, they're not blood related. Can I tell you something? My wife is not blood related to me, but I love her. Everybody doing all right? Say, well, what if you had stepchildren? They would be my children. I have a daughter-in-law. I don't have one drop of her blood in my family, but guess what? She's my daughter. She has the same benefits as that girl sitting right there on the second row. She really does. The first day she hugged me was her wedding day. It was so cute. She said, Dad, I'm going to be a bush today. Can I hug you today? I said, you sure can. Not that I didn't want to before, but I didn't want to press her. I said, you can anytime you want. And it's been sweet. My daughter-in-law is not my daughter-in-law. She's my daughter. She's not blood related to me, but the one she's married to is, guess what? They're one flesh. She's my flesh as well then. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? If you have a stepchild, guess what? They're of the flesh you're one married to. Guess what? You're blood related then. Same thing for you stepchildren. Your stepparent is married to someone you're blood related to, and if they're married, guess what? They're one flesh, you're blood related to them. Boy, that's a good statement. Today I want to preach a bit on the family. Don't turn me off. Listen to me. If you stop right now, you're going to miss the explanation of much of what I just said, and you're going to probably misquote me and misunderstand me. So listen very carefully. I'm going to show you what God said here, not what man teaches. Let me say that again. I'm going to show you what God says here, not what man teaches. I want to show you what God says so that your family can be as God intended it to be. Number one, you ready? Everybody smile. Everybody take a deep breath. I love you. Here we go. Number one, your household is the most important part of your family. Your household is the most important part of your family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I'm going to show you something here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and I will turn there quickly. If you get there, great. If you're not, don't worry about it. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 14 reads, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, we could go to Joshua chapter 7, verses 14 through 17. I will not turn there right now. But you'll see the word house or household often, and how that God commanded the leadership of the household. This means whoever lives within the confines of your house, that is the most important part of your family. Let me show you what I mean. My daughter lives at home 3 months a year now. She goes to college, so she's gone. Did you know I still have some say-so in her life because she lives under my household? But my son Jeff is 21. He's been living on his own since he put a year of Bible college in. He stayed there, got an apartment, working jobs, and become a good layman in the church, working a bus route there in Lexington. He's chosen to stay there, especially to find a wife. And once he does, he may stay there, he may move. It doesn't matter to me. Can I tell you something? I don't have say-so in his life. He has his own household. My son Josh and his wife Ruth Ann live in Miami Homestead, Florida. Do you know I have no say-so in their life? Now, I love them, but I don't tell them how to run their household. You say, why? It's their household, not mine. I love my mom and dad. They live in the same town we live in. But can I tell you something? I have no say-so on how they run their household. Never have. And never will. Say why? Because he was dead. And by the way, my dad has no say-so in how I run my household. He may not do it the way I do it. I might not do it the way he does it. But guess what? We don't talk about it. We just do it. The ones that live in my household are the ones that I have the leadership over. And they're the most important part according to God. Now, listen to this statement. That means your spouse, your children, your stepchildren, your step-parents, your in-laws that live in your home, that is your area of rule. Grown children who have moved out or on their own are not your area of rule. Should you love them? Yes. Should you be all freaked out and make your life miserable because they make bad mistakes? No, because they're not under your leadership. Doesn't mean it won't hurt you, but may I say this, you're not responsible for that. They're adults in God's eyes, and they're running their own household, even if they're by themselves. Amen. Boy, that's a good statement. Your household is what you have rule over, not your entire family, your extended family, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your mom, your dad, all that. You don't have rule over that. I love my brother and his three children, but guess what? I have zero say-so in their home, and if things go well, I'm happy for them. If things go sour, I'll hurt for them, but I'm not going to spend my life mourning over the fact that and getting angry because my brother wouldn't do something the way I did it. Everybody doing all right? Some of you live a miserable life because you're trying to dabble in areas that are not yours to dabble in. Some of you get upset with children who are adults. And by the way, I get saddened when they make bad decisions. Yes, but my life should not change because they made a bad decision. Boy, that's a good statement. You have no more say-so in grown children than you do a total stranger's house. Brother Stoltz, Rachel is his daughter, and Courtney is son-in-law, and then they have two children. He has no more say-so in their life than he does Joe and Ashley's house. Everybody doing all right? Though they have children similar in age. Say why? Because that's their own household. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, I got to hurry. Everybody doing all right? Everybody take another breath. Smile. I love you. It's going to get progressively harder. When you get saved, you get born again, and you get eternal genetics through the blood of Jesus Christ that saved you. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Romans chapter 2, verse number 29. I want to read a verse to you. Romans chapter 2, verse number 29 reads this. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Can I tell you something? The moment you get saved, spiritually, you become Jewish, according to God, part of his chosen people. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Go back and read it. Go back and read Romans 2 sometime. Not right now. All right? That's how you become a child of God. Say, what happens? When man sins, his spirit dies. When you get saved, your spirit is regened, it's regenerated, it's regeneticized by the blood of Jesus Christ. You accept the blood sacrifice, the life is in the blood. You accept the blood sacrifice to take care of your sin debt. Your spirit is reborn. That's why God becomes your father. Guess what? We become his children.
Amen.
Wow. Well, if God is our father and we are his children, guess what? Spiritually, then, we're all related if we're saved. We're part of the family of God. Now, watch this. That is not a universal church, an invisible church where everybody makes up the church that's saved. That's hogwash. That's no more true than Wiley and Hmong would be a part of my family. No, we're separate families, but we're friends. We're related by spirit, but we don't live in the same household. Everybody understand that? All right, now watch this. Spiritual family can be as close, and may I say this, maybe even closer than biological family. Biblically speaking, your spiritual family should be as close and at times closer than biological family. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because everybody would have to raise your hand. But how many of you, and don't raise your hand, how many of you have biological family that really isn't living right? That you really don't want influencing you an awful lot or your children. That means this. That means your church family, your spiritual family, can be closer in some ways than even a biological family. Do you know I'm closer to many of you than I am some people in my own biological family? I am closer to many of you men than I am my own brother. My brother lives in Miami, Florida. I see him once a year. I spend more time with you. Now, wait a minute. My brother and I are pretty close. I can pick up the phone and call him, text him. We get each other if he's available. Same thing with me. We're both busy. It doesn't mean I don't love him. Does not mean I don't care about him. But in many ways, I am closer to you. And I'm closer to all of your children than I am my nieces and nephews. I really am. Not because I hate my brother and his family. I just don't see them. I don't spend time with them. I'm not around them enough to be that kind of close to them, but I am closer to the spiritual family here. I'm closer to Neil and Jesse's children than I am my nieces and nephew. Everybody doing all right?
Yep, come on.
Say, why? Because I spend more time with you. Now, that doesn't mean I hate my brother and his two daughters and his son and his two grandchildren. I had to think of how many he had. I have two great nephews. I've never seen them other than a picture. Never have met them. Everybody doing all right? We should not feel more obligated to biological family than we do spiritual family. Okay, I'm going to read my notes so that you don't get mad at me. We should not disown our biological family, but we should not stop loving our spiritual family to be with our biological family. Listen to this statement. I know it's hot. Slap yourself, wake yourself up, do something here. But just because biological family is near doesn't mean, well, I'll go visit them and skip church and skip being with my spiritual family. I'd rather be right and be spiritual and do right if they're the kind of family you should be with. Bring them to church with you if it's church time. Everybody doing all right? Well, biological family, grown children, your parents, brothers and sisters that live wrong or drag you down with their attitude or how they live, should not destroy you and your spiritual family. I've watched more than one Christian over and over and over and over thousands of times. I've watched biological family pull people out of church. I've watched biological families who were involved in the ministry didn't act right, and people got out of church over that because they were living a hypocritical life. Can I tell you something? Just because somebody does something wrong doesn't mean spiritual life is wrong. Learn to live the spiritual life the right way. Limit your time with people that pull you down, whether they be biological or spiritual family. Do you know there are some people that are just going to drag you down? When you talk to somebody and say, "How are you today?" "Oh, I'm miserable. This hurts, that hurts. My nose is out of place. My feet stink. My nose is running." And I mean, every time you talk to them, it's that way. Now, I'm not saying that every once in a while something doesn't hurt. If you got up this morning and something didn't hurt, you're young. let's face it. You're going to have aches and pains, but you talk to somebody, "How you doing today?" "Oh, I'm scared. Boy, the election's coming up. We have to choose between Hillary and Trump. We got ISIS attacking us. We're in debt. We're all going to burn up because of global warming." Ha, 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 ha. Everybody's hair's going to turn green because of the Rio Olympics. Don't worry, Joe. You don't have it. Your scalp won't turn green. You know, I limit my time with people that start dragging me down like that. Now, I'm not saying that people don't have problems. But can I tell you something? If you're negative all the time, I'm going to limit how much influence you have on me because you're going to make me negative. And I can't afford that. Everybody doing all right? Everybody look at me. I love you. Why would you go to a family reunion where they're going to pull out the rock music and the booze and uncle, I got to think of a name that I don't have an uncle here. Uncle Gomez. Okay. I got to think of something totally off base here. Because somebody said, "Oh, you know my family, don't you?" No. But why are you going to go there knowing a certain uncle or whoever is going to show up drunk and hitting on all the women? And then you're going to have somebody that's foul-mouthed, and the beer's going to be out, and the booze is going to be out. And you're saying, "Man, I got to go to this." Why? Tell me why. I know people that will skip church to go to something like that. I'd rather go to church than to sit around that mess. I really would. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Do not obligate yourself to abusive, sinful, bitter, critical, biological, or spiritual family. If you grew up in a home where somebody was beating you or mistreating you, you are not obligated to be around them. Everybody hear that? Somebody was not treating you right physically, you're not obligated because you have the same last name or did have the same last name to go to stupid family reunions with them. Avoid them. Just like if you have somebody in your family that went off the deep end religiously. Everybody doing all right? Man, do I feel like you ought to see some of the looks I'm getting. Yeah, you got some of these people that live like an animal, and yet they portray themselves as spiritual. They're super duper spiritual, and they can talk about God, and they praise God for this, praise God for that, praise God for this, praise God for that. But you know they're getting drunk and making you sick. Can I tell you something? You shouldn't let that pull you down. Don't spend time around people like that. They're not as spiritual as they're telling you are. It's a ploy to cover up what they're doing. I'm not saying you don't have family that's spiritual, but may I say this, just because they say they're spiritual and live the other way. My daughter and I were somewhere, and she said, Daddy, we drove down through town, and the Catholic Church yesterday was having their big bash. They had all the tents set up for all the different beer companies. Miller tent, they had the Coors tent, they had this tent. She said, can you believe a church has that? I said, it's not a church. It's Catholics.
Amen.
I said, yeah, the priest was getting free drinks at every tent. Amen. The Holy Father's got a hangover this morning. He missed early mass. Forgive me. All right. You know, don't judge life or your spiritual family by what the abusers taught you. Just because somebody told you you're obligated to your family, you're not. You're obligated to obey that book more than obligated to obey your family.
Amen.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Hello. By the way, children means anybody that lives in your household. Once they're grown, they're not obligated to obey you. Good night. I am 49 years old. If my daddy tells me to do something, I'm not obligated to do it. Everybody doing all right? Now, most of the time, I've reached the point in time in life where I've realized I better at least listen to what he said, because he's lived an awful lot longer than I, been down the road more times than I, and I better pay attention to what he said. But may I say this, if I don't do it, God's not going to spank me because at 49 I didn't obey my daddy. But Wally, you have to obey your husband. All right? That's good preaching, isn't it, Fred? All right, I thought so. Can I tell you something? Eternal blood is as important or more important than biological blood, because eternal blood is eternal.
Amen.
Spiritual blood is eternal. Biological blood is not. Do you know the spiritual family and the spiritual relationships you have in many cases will outlive some of the biological relationships you have? You have lost family that will probably die and go to hell. Guess what? The family that you have that is spiritual will last forever.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying you disown people in your family because they're creeps. That was the nicest way I knew how to say that. All right? But may I say this? You can be kind to creeps. But it doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of time with them.
Right.
Number three, and I'm done. You hope. When we get saved, God is our Father. And every saved person is a brother or sister. Everybody doing all right? I love you. That means this. Each local church is a household. That means we're supposed to get along with the people in our household. Everybody doing all right? We're supposed to get along in our household. And by the way, I'll be thankful for... let's see here. Central Baptist Church in Avenel, New Jersey, pastored by my friend, Brother Jim Gelhausen. Or is it Lighthouse Baptist, Brother Walter's church? I think it's Lighthouse Baptist up in Winthrop, Maine. I love both those men. They're my friends. But they have their own household. You know, I have no say-so in their churches, nor do I want say-so in their churches.
and I'm not going to mix our household with their household necessarily. We're responsible for our household. Now, I'll get along with them. As long as they're going the right direction, we're getting along. But it doesn't mean that we have to be together all the time, because we got our own household to take care of. Do you know, if I come to your house every day for dinner, my wife doesn't have to cook. No. if I came to your house every day for dinner, I wouldn't be caring for my household right. If I brought all our dirty laundry to your house and said, do our laundry for us, I wouldn't be caring for my household right. Well, I'm busy. My wife's busy. We haven't had time to do it. Would you do our laundry for us? Folks, you're not going to have to worry about doing my laundry or feeding me. Quite capable of doing that. By the way, listen to this. We don't need to run all over the country to visit everyone to find out how their household's doing. Let's just stay and keep our household running and doing what it's supposed to do. I'm for you going on vacation. If you're going on vacation, I'll try to help you find a decent church to go to. I'm for that. But I get a little tired of everybody running all over the country to go visit this church and visit that church, visit this church, visit that church, visit this church, visit that church. You're supposed to stay inside your own household and do what you're supposed to do. Okay, that went over like a lead balloon. God wants you to help pay the bills at home. I believe you ought to tithe to your local church. I believe you ought to take care of home first. If God gives you extra and you want to help somewhere else, that's fine. But if you're sending your tithe somewhere else, that's not scriptural. Amen. I'm sorry. I didn't put it in the book. God did. You know, I'm not afraid to help somebody with a bill if I've got the extra. But I'm not going to take my Potomac Edison bill and pay your Potomac Edison bill and say, bless God, I'm going to live by faith. I'm sorry, I'm obligated to pay my bills.
That's right.
If I can scrape up the extra to help you, I'll scrape up the extra to help you. But I'm not going to let my bills go unpaid to pay your bills. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Just like I'm not going to come to you and say, I need you to pay my bills. It's not going to work that way. I'm responsible to pay my bills. Boy, that's a good statement. When people outside our whole household don't live right, it doesn't need to destroy us.
Amen.
Did you know there are other churches in this area and all over our state and all over our country that aren't quite like we are? Matter of fact, none of them are. None of them are this crazy. But may I say this, just because they're not exactly like us doesn't mean we got to fuss and feud with them. It also doesn't mean we got to spend a lot of time with them. I'm not going to waste my energy fighting with somebody of another household.
Amen.
I'm not going to do it. If Harry and Kathy don't run their house the way I would run my house, I'm not going to fight them over it. Say why? I don't have to live there. They do. Even if they ask my advice, it's up to them. I'm not going to fight you over it. Boy, that's good stuff. You see, when people outside our household don't live right, it doesn't have to destroy you. Now listen to this statement. When we all get to heaven, we're going to lose our sin nature. And we'll be like God wants us to be. And guess what? Some of those saved people you can't get along with down here, you're going to have to get along with for eternity. Ouch. Some of the people you're harboring bitterness in your heart over, you better get it right, because when you get to heaven, God may put them right next door to where you live. Boy, that would be fun, wouldn't it? I'm going to make sure Ellen Moore lives right next door to Fred. She is going to hound you for eternity. Oh, listen, you know, I'm not going to fuss and feud here on earth. I'm just going to avoid those areas of conflict. I really am. May I say this?
We've sent enough loved ones ahead in heaven that we should work towards heaven being our eternal home. You have parents, brothers and sisters. Some have children there. Some have grandchildren there. We have enough people that we know that are already there. Guess what? They're getting along. They're fine. That we ought to be living here so that when we get there, we don't have to mend fences. I have people that hate my internal organs. Do you know what? I hate nobody. I have people that just in the last month have egged my truck. I've had people in the middle of the night banging on my doors and causing all kinds of troubles in my house just to be rude and make a statement. It's okay. I even had a neighbor tell me, "You want to know who it is? I got it on camera. They don't know my neighbors have cameras." I said, "No, it's okay." He said, "You're a better man than I." I said, "No." I said, "I'd rather them bother me than bother you. It's okay." Now, wait a minute. There's not a human being on the face of this earth, if they walk through that door, I couldn't be kind and gentle with. Now, they may not be teaching Sunday school next week, but it doesn't mean that I couldn't be a gentleman to them. I can put my head down tonight and be in total peace over it. Well, you don't know what they did to you. I probably do. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Because I'm going to heaven. When I get there, it's already forgiven for both of us. Why should I hold it against them now? Everybody doing okay?
We ought to be getting ready for heaven. Can I tell you something? Some of you don't have much of a biological family, but you can have a spiritual family.
Amen.
I'll never forget one of the sweetest statements I've ever heard in my entire life. It's from that couple back there. Fred and Wally. They lived, I'm going to use their terminology, we lived like hermits. Never had children. I don't think any of you have any parents still alive. I think you have a sister or cousin. Nope. Got a cousin alive. Fred's got a brother and sister-in-law. His brother just passed away back in January. Past that, they've had no family. And they literally lived like hermits. But boy, when they got saved, they were like Rover. They got saved all over. And they came to church, and Fred was scratching his head and getting splinters in his fingers. And he said, "We've never had family before." And I'll never forget, both of them said, "We found our first family ever. It's called Grace Baptist Church." Man, that did something for me. That did something for me. I watch Larry and Sherry come to church and get saved and baptized and watch God change their life.
Amen.
And then Bob and Tammy and their family and others have been coming. Yesterday at the funeral, Brother Stoltz said something to me yesterday evening about this. So sweet. You don't know this happened. Got done with the funeral. I walked out there and Brother Stoltz was standing beside me. And the family started coming out slowly. A young lady walked up to me. I thanked her for being here. She reached out her hand, had a tear going down her face, and she said, "It's an honor to shake the hand and meet the man that God used to change my grandpa's life."
Amen.
Amen.
Sir, that's right.
I said, "Who's your grandpa?" She said, "Larry." I'll be honest with you. It was hard to stand up. I about fell on my knees. I was overwhelmed. I said, "All we're doing is preaching the truth and loving on him." And she said, "Thank you." She said, "You saved my grandpa's life. And you saved his eternity." I said, "What a sweet man." Can I tell you something? That's called family. That's called spiritual family. Brother Fred, Miss Wally, I'll take that any day. Amen?
Amen.
I'd like to know some of my biological family better.
I would. I think I could enjoy most all of them. Not all of them, but most all of them. But you know what? I can't have all of them near me, but I've got all of you near me, and I'm going to love you like my own family. Because we are family. We're of one blood. We are blood related through the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, I don't understand that, preacher. Then you need to get saved. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses your sins. That blood gives you the genetics you need spiritually to live forever, and you get to become part of the family of God here at Grace Baptist Church. Some of you have been saved, you've been born, but you need to obey the Father and get baptized. Some of you have been saved and baptized, but you need to join the church. Why don't you join the family? Quit living on the outside. Why don't you just jump on in and join the family? It's okay, I promise you. We won't hurt you.
Right.
At least not on purpose. Just don't get in Brother Stoltz's way in his orange truck. Just jump in. It's okay. And may I say this? Can I tell you what's fun about a family? It grows.
Yeah. Older I get, the bigger my family's getting. Not just my belly. I realized when my son got married, I wasn't losing my son. I was gaining a daughter.
Amen.
And if the natural progression takes place, they're going to have children. I'm not ready for some kid to call me Pawpaw yet. But when it happens, I'll be ready for it.
Amen.
I'm too young to be married to a grandmother. But guess what? It's going to happen one of these days. It might happen with my son, Jeff. Now, Mindy's got about another 20 years before it can happen, but it'll happen. Some toe-headed idiot will try to marry her.
Can I tell you something? You say, are you dreading that? No, I'm gaining. My family's growing. And I love that. And by the way, I love it. God loves it when his family here grows. Say, how do we have babies at church? You go out, go soul winning, win people to Christ, bring them to church, and bring visitors to church, and guess what? The family of God keeps growing. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The whole family in heaven and in earth. The whole family in heaven and in earth. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Be quiet just for a moment here. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure. I won't come to you. I won't bother you any more than I bothered those people that just raised their hands. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right, there's one. Is there another? All right. Who'd say, preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. Someday, I need to get baptized. Would you raise your hand? All right, there's one. There's another. We can care for it today if you're over 18. Who'd say, preacher? Now, I won't have you raise your hand, but maybe the Lord's been dealing with you about joining the church. Why don't you just join the family here? It'll be okay. Maybe you need to get busy and start growing the family. Time to grow up and expand and start bringing people to the family. Start having the spiritual family grow. Some of you just need to decide you're going to jump on in and enjoy the spiritual family that God has given you and not feel so obligated to some of the biological family that pulls you down.